All the articles you have come to love in Equimanagement magazine are now available on the Equimanagement on Audio podcast. Each article is released as its own separate episode to make them quick and easy to listen to. Just search Equimanagement on Audio on your favorite podcast player to listen to all the latest articles.
Updates on SGLT2 inhibitors for horses. In a February 2025 webinar, Dr. David Rendell, European specialist in equine internal medicine, shared updates to the information he presented on SGLT2 inhibitors at the 2024 AAEP convention. SGLT2 inhibitors work by blocking the kidney's proximal convoluted tubules to increase blood glucose secretion into urine, which helps reduce circulating insulin concentrations. SGLT2 inhibitors act predominantly on the renal level, while SGLT1 inhibitors act mainly on the intestines and pancreas. SGLT2 inhibitors have a multitude of beneficial effects on horses. They can lower plasma glucose to help with hyperinsulinemia and insulin dysfunction, lead to urinary calorie loss and weight loss, lower adiponectin and leptin, lower plasma volume and blood pressure, reduce adipocyte-mediated inflammation, shift to ketone metabolism, reduce oxidative stress, lower uric acid, reduce glomerular hyperfiltration and albuminuria, suppress glycemic end product signaling associated with inflammation. While Rendell stresses the importance of lifestyle and diet to control equine metabolic syndrome, he acknowledged cases in which horses might need pharmacological intervention in addition to owner compliance implementing management changes. Some horses are resistant to weight loss, particularly if they cannot exercise because of laminitis or other musculoskeletal issues. Rendell said an SGLT2 inhibitor might be a necessary premedication in advance of corticosteroid treatment in horses at high risk of laminitis. Pasture-associated laminitis. In a prospective cohort study of 446 horses, Menzies Gow et al. Evaluated risk factors for pasture-associated laminitis in the UK. 3/4 of the horses were overweight or obese. Body condition scores 7 to 9. 27.3% were ideal weight, BCS 4 to 6, and 0.5% were underweight, less than or equal to 3 BCS. After 1 year, 4% developed laminitis. After 2 years, 6.7% developed laminitis. And after 3 years, nearly 10% developed laminitis. Risk factors for pasture-associated laminitis included low plasma adiponectin and high serum basal insulin, or insulin post-dexamethasone administration. Laminitis risk, based on insulin dysregulation. In another study of 374 normal ponies without present or previous laminitis, Knowles et al. Reported that 69% of horses with insulin concentrations higher than 45.2 micro-IU per milliliter will develop laminitis within 4 years. 22% of horses with insulin levels of 21.5 to 45.2 micro-IU per milliliter had a risk of developing laminitis within 4 years. Rendell stressed that even horses with appropriate body condition score can experience postprandial hyperinsulinemia and are at risk for laminitis. In another study, 28 insulin dysregulated horses, insulin greater than 100 micro-IU per milliliter, were fed forage with water-soluble carbohydrate content, either below or above 10%. Most, 25 out of 28 of the horses, had a history of laminitis but no ongoing acute episode, and no PPID. They received feed in appropriate amounts per kilogram of body weight. The researchers performed oral sugar testing following several days of feeding specific non-structural carbohydrate diets, hay for 14 horses, haylage for 13 horses, hay and haylage for 1 horse. Many of the horses had peak insulin greater than 21. Insulin levels of 150 to 200 micro-IU per milliliter occurred in 14% of the ID horses. The authors concluded that feeding forage with less than 10% WSC content is not always enough to avoid postprandial hyperinsulinemia beyond the level at risk to induce laminitis in horses with moderate to severe ID. Such individuals might do better on SGLT2 inhibitor drugs, said Rendell. Effects of the SGLT2 inhibitor ertugliflozin. In a horse owner survey of SGLT2 inhibitors, 342 respondents used ertugliflozin. Many of the horses received treatment for 3 to 12 months, with 85% improved, 9% unchanged, and 5% deteriorated. All respondents noted that laminitis pain improved within 30 days. 3/4 of the patients were on non-steroidal anti-inflammatories at the start of treatment. 19% remained on non-steroidal anti-inflammatories following treatment. 80% of horses whose owners were considering euthanasia prior to treatment had mild or absent pain after 30 days on SGLT2 inhibitors. Adverse effects cited included polyuria/polydipsia, excessive weight loss, and dullness. None experienced hyperlipidemia, which is a concern with SGLT2 inhibitors. Hypertriglyceridemia is a side effect of SGLT2 inhibitor treatment and might prompt practitioners to consider a dose reduction. Normal triglyceride reference ranges vary, but are typically around 0.1 to 6.2 millimoles per liter. Once triglyceride levels reach the teens, millimoles per liter, it is concerning. But we have seen over time that levels normalize, said Rendell. If there are high lipids in the serum, that is concerning. And if triglyceride levels are in the 20s, then consider reducing SGLT2 inhibitor dose. It is important to ensure that the horse continues eating. If fasting is anticipated, then withdraw treatment for a period of time. In a veterinary survey, 45% of respondents reported seeing no adverse effects from SGLT2I. Others reported PU/PD, urinary tract infection, and inappetence, but no hyperglycemia. Treatment was discontinued upon laminitis resolution or reduced insulin levels. Very few owners stopped treatment because of high triglycerides or other biochemical markers. Most stopped due to cost. Take-home message. Rendell stressed that SGLT2 inhibitor drugs should be used when other management or pharmaceutical options have not worked and at as low a dose and as short a time as possible. He noted that SGLT2 inhibitor products are not interchangeable. Presently, ertugliflozin is indicated for acute laminitis. Use of these drugs should be reevaluated monthly, preferably with information from clinical exams and insulin concentrations. He said frequent lab testing might be cost prohibitive, so veterinarians should pursue it judiciously. Upon reaching the target clinical response, he recommends reducing the dose by half and reassessing, then discontinuing and reassessing. It might be possible to go down to a 1/4 dose while weaning the horse off SGLT2 inhibitors. It is important to note that SGLT2 inhibitors can be used with pergolide because many PPID cases are hyperinsulinemic with high ACTH levels. Pergolide has no effect on lowering insulin levels. Currently, there's no data to support the use of SGLT2 inhibitors with pergolide, which veterinarians should explain to owners.